Please stand if you are able to honor the reading of the gospel. The reading is from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It tells the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear now the words of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first done when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God.
I don't know if you remember the old Charlie Brown Christmas special, but if you do, you may understand why I always hear that reading in Linus's voice, even if it's Bill reading it. I don't know if that's an upgrade or a downgrade, but it's a thing. Well, if you are going to be anywhere for, not Christmas Eve, but New Year's Eve, where would it be? For many people, you might be picturing kind of the quintessential Times Square, New York City, New Year's Eve celebration. You know, millions of people lining the streets. You know, there's celebrities everywhere with cameras stuck in their faces. Everyone's getting ready for the ball to drop. 10, 9, 8, the confetti gets ready. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year. Everyone's cheering. Couples are kissing. Everyone breaks out into auld lang syne, or at least the first few words. No one knows the rest. It's the place to be for New Year's Eve, right? And that's where I found myself in 2003. I had just finished college, and my graduation trip was to New York with one of my good friends, and he actually had another friend who lived right in the thick of where all of the action was going to take place for Times Square and all those people gathering. And so we decided if we were going to be there, we should go for the classic, you know, Times Square experience, when in Rome, right? And so we stayed in the apartment and watched it on TV. Good story, right? Let me tell you another one of my great stories, one of my best. We were in Los Angeles, and I think it was for my brother's graduation trip, and we had tickets to the Leno show. Kids, ask your parents who that was. And whenever they're doing a live filming, you know, they have breaks, you know, where you would see commercials or in between guests. And so they'll have entertainment going on during those breaks. Sometimes they'll have the house band do something, or they'll have activities with the audience. And during one of those breaks, the house band broke into the opening riff to an Eminem song. Parents, ask your kids who that is. Suffice it to say, one of the most famous rappers. And it's salient to note that at that particular time of my life, I did happen to have almost all of Eminem's repertoire memorized. So as the leader of the house band was opening this riff, they were trying to get someone to come from the audience to come on stage to rap this Eminem song. And it quickly became apparent that there were two people being thrown under the bus, I mean nominated by their friends, a guy over on the left side of the room and me. And so I'm warming up in my mind, I'm rehearsing the lyrics, getting ready, and then the house band leader looks over to me, and I go like this. And the other guy goes up and does it. Another really good story, right? As a side note, yes, and someone tested me on this after the earlier service, I can still rap that song. If you want another good almost story, I have tons of almost stories I could tell you. They sound really good as a teaser, as a one-liner, but then you better walk off before you tell the rest of the story. Did you know that I've been thrown out of a hockey game as a fan, not a player? But really, that's just another almost story. But let's rewind a little bit further into the past, even further than my college days. Let's go back a couple thousand years. And let's imagine that one of the shepherds that was there that night, we'll call him Old Shep. That's an inside joke from a children's sermon, if you remember that. And let's imagine that Old Shep is telling his grandkids about the time that an angel appeared in his field. And he's telling his grandkids about this. This angel told him, you can find the Messiah is going to be born over in that next town. You can find him. He'll be wrapped in swaddling cloths and sleeping in a manger. And then this other choir of angels appeared and started singing praises to this newborn king. Old Shep is telling his grandkids, and they are eating this up. They are enthralled by the story. And they say, Grandpa, what happened next? And Old Shep says, well, I don't know. I stayed back in the field. Another good almost story, right? I think that's one of the most overlooked parts of the Christmas story, is that the angels told the shepherds to leave behind their fields and go see this Messiah. That was a crazy thing for the shepherds to do, and yet they did it. They went to find this newborn king. They went to find this Messiah, to see what the Messiah had in store for them. They went to be a part of something big. It wasn't one of my almost stories. They were there for the real thing. And the text says that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. I'm guessing you were not amazed by my almost good story of Times Square or my almost good story of rapping on the Leno show. Probably not amazing, right? And Old Shep's grandkids would not have been amazed if he had stayed behind in the field instead of going to see the Messiah. God's story isn't an almost story. It is the greatest story ever told. The creation and the redemption of the world is literally the most important story imaginable. And we are all invited, just like the shepherds, to be a part of that story. We are invited to be a part of something big. But like Old Shep, we have to decide to get out of our fields and go see what the Messiah has in store for us ourselves. Sisters and brothers, you are invited to be a part of something big, to be a part of the greatest story ever told. And that story is not done. That story is still happening every single day. It is unfolding right now. There are parts to be played by every person here. Are you willing to leave your field and go see for yourself? Are you willing to be a part of something big? Near the start of Jesus' ministry, he found two brothers who were fishermen, and he invited them to be a part of a new story. He told them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And these two fishermen dropped their nets, left behind everything they had ever known and followed Jesus because they wanted to be a part of something big. And that's not just a fishing story. Near the middle of Jesus' ministry, he sent his followers out in pairs, giving them a message of good news and the ability to do miraculous things, but there was a catch. He told them you couldn't take along any supplies, not even a change of clothes. They just had to trust that God would provide. And they went out with just the clothes on their backs, and they healed the sick of body and the sick of soul. And they did that because they wanted to be a part of something big. At the very end of Jesus' ministry, he told his followers that they would be his witness in their hometowns, that they would be his witnesses even in the cities of their rivals, and even in every city around the world, they would be his witnesses. And we are only here today, 2,000 years later, because they wanted to be a part of something big. Those aren't almost stories. Those are part of the greatest story ever told. And that is a story we are all invited to participate in. We all have a role to play. We all have a mission in that story. Sometimes that story has a mission that it might be even too big for you to imagine. I knew a guy who was always talking every year about how he was feeling the call to be a missionary, to just drop everything and, you know, go to a foreign country and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that was like an inspiring story the first time. But after like 8 years of hearing that story, I just wanted to shake him and say, go already. On the other hand, there's a woman who lives not too far from here, and she and her husband had good jobs. Their family was doing well, but they felt that exact same call to drop everything and go. But they actually did it. Quit their jobs, took their family to Africa for 10 months and to serve in the name of Christ. That's not an almost story. That's the real deal. That's being a part of something big. And when they came back, they decided this story isn't done. They were still missionaries, but just missionaries in Littleton. And if you go down to Graceful Cafe in downtown Littleton, you'll see how they are continuing to live out that story, building community and feeding the hungry in our city. That's a story. But not everyone is called to that kind of story. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. For instance, I had a friend at my previous church who wanted to meet with me because he felt like he was not being all he could be as a husband. He was relatively new in faith, whereas his wife was one of those people who like accepted Jesus when she was like 3, right? So he felt that he was always just letting her always take the lead. It's not a bad thing, but he was never taking the lead, and he wanted some ideas. So we came up with some ways for him to be active in his family in faith, not just always the background, but for him to be a part of the foreground of the action of faith. Not hiding, but being out in front as well. That's a story. But not everyone's story is even at home. I knew a doctor who works with cancer patients, and let's be honest, that's not easy emotionally for anyone. I mean, we've made a lot of progress, but there's still a ton of patients that medicine can't really do anything for. It's got to be hard to be a nurse or a doctor working with so many patients you can't help. And so this doctor sensed that his mission, his story from God, was to invest in the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual well-being of his patients and his staff. He's an active part of the lives of his nurses. They're not just tools to him. They're every bit as valuable as his patients, every bit as valuable as his own family. And I used to visit church members at this hospital where he worked, and sometimes I would have to be on the cancer floor to visit people. And every once in a while, I would suddenly feel the mood had lightened. The spirit of the floor had suddenly gone up a few notches. And that was almost always my cue that this doctor had walked onto the floor. The spirit of the entire floor was uplifted because of the way he approached his job. That's a story. So the question is, how is Jesus calling you? Where are the angels directing you, just as they directed old Shep and those other shepherds? How can you seize that opportunity to make a difference, to be a part of something big? How can you be a part of the greatest story ever told? Because it isn't finished yet, and there's a role for you written into that story. Maybe that's at your home. Maybe that's at work or school. Maybe it's something completely radical that changes your life. How can you be a part of something big? 2,000 years ago, the angels proclaimed, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Did you catch the most important part of that message? The first phrase, "Do not be afraid." We don't have to hold back. We don't have to be afraid. We can be a part of God's story. But it's not because we're amazing or strong or brilliant. That's not why we're written into the story. We are written into the story because of what starts on Christmas Day. The birth of the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. And so if you follow Jesus, he will lead you, not to an almost story. He will lead you to the greatest stories of your life. So take a cue from old Shep. Abandon your old field. Go see what this Messiah has to offer you. You won't be left with an almost story. You'll be a part of something big. Thanks be to God. Amen.